Well, good evening, everyone. As you see, Brother Mike is not here tonight, so I will be your teacher tonight. We're looking forward to this lesson, and don't forget, any questions, any time you want to stop and make a discussion, have a discussion about anything, we will do that. All right, let's have a word of prayer as we get started. Father in heaven, we are truly thankful unto thee for this day and for all the blessings of life. And Father, as we begin our Wednesday Bible study, we pray, Father, your blessings upon everyone who's here. We pray, Father, that the lessons that we study can impact our hearts. Help us to be better Christians in the future than we've been in the past. Be with us, Father, in this service unto thee. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right. Well, we left off last week, I believe it was on page 75. We're right in the middle of lesson number 8, the problems of employment. So on page 75, in the middle of the page. The good worker. That's us, right? Okay, the good worker. Some workers are good, some are poor, and some are medium. As Christians, we should seek to excel as employees, employers, business owners, and executives, and professional men and women. All other things being equal, the Christian should be a better worker than the person of the world. We all agree with that, don't we? I see some strange looks. We'll come back to that. Okay. Yeah. Right. The thought in that is, I understand the thought, but the wording could be a little changed. All right? Okay, we'll come back to that one. As one becomes a good and worthy worker, he solves many of the problems pertaining to employment. Therefore, it is highly appropriate that we note the following traits. All right. Number one, the good worker sees not only what he does, but what it does for others. If I do this, then that which otherwise would be drudgery will be a gratifying experience. I should see my little labor as a necessary part of the world's work. The farmer who works hard with soiled hands should see not only a field of wheat, but the many families sitting around tables eating bread made from that wheat. The carpenter should not only see not only houses, but the people sheltered and protected by them. This enhances the workers' feelings of accomplishments. Now, I'm sure everybody in here at one time has been a worker, right? Whether you worked, if you weren't a carpenter or a farmer, you did have some kind of job. Most of us in here probably had a job with the automotive industry. A lot of us did, some didn't. But the satisfaction you get from doing a good job, you know, we can all equate to that. We felt good about that. Hope we did. The good worker we're talking about, this is talking about people with everyday problems. Let's go on over to the next one, then I'm going to come back to this. Two, the good worker is enthusiastic. Whatever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. Ecclesiastes 9, verse 10. When a man puts his whole soul into his work, he makes it a job worthwhile. A banker friend of mine once said, there can be no substitute for brains. But if there could be, it would be enthusiasm. How do you feel about that, anybody? no substitute for brains, but if it was, enthusiasm would be it. That is true, right? So enthusiasm can help you do a good job and should help you, should be enthused about it, right? So we'll take that. The excellent worker looks on his work as a sacred charge to do his best at it. All poor work is a fraud and a lie. Some scripture here. Thou knowest the commandments, defraud not. This is Mark 10:19. I want to look that up. Check that out. Mark 10:19, and see if that's exactly the way it is quoted. Anybody that gets it can read it. Mark 10. Verse 19. You know, that's October 19th. That's somebody's birthday. Oh, it's mine. Okay. I know that 10:19 stood out. Okay. Mark 10:19. And the next day is Mike's. Mike's birthday is one day after mine. Okay. Okay. Electronic devices, please. Anybody have that? Okay, could you read that for us, Jason? All right. Okay, Mark 10:19. It is. Okay, so as it pertains to the excellent worker, he looks on his work as a sacred charge to do his best at it. All poor work is a fraud and a lie. Thou knowest the commandments, defraud not. Stretch. All right, any questions on that? All right, okay. Number four, the most meritorious worker is happy in his employment. If you cannot be pleased with your job, find another one. Who is that? It wrongs both you and your employer to remain on a job you dislike. Well, a lot of people stay on jobs that they don't like. 30 plus years, right here. I can raise my hand on that one. But it was a job. It got the bills paid, and everybody ate, right? Nobody starved. This is kind of a strange, strong statement there. So in other words, you should be happy with your employment, and if you don't like it, you should get another job. Well, you might get another job, and you might not like it, right? That could be. So we just make the best of the jobs that we have, right? But you know, a lot of people stay on jobs that they don't like because, like I just said, the money, you got to have income. Right, that's true. Is anybody here that when you had a job that you really liked it? I don't see any hands. One. She liked her job. Well, you had one that you really liked too. Well, that's wonderful. Huh? Yeah, okay. So this statement. Yeah, I understand. But we do what we have to do. We have families, we have responsibilities, so we do what we have to do to meet those demands. Okay. Yeah, I agree. Right? But you did it before, but you did it, right? Yep. Something is strange or different about this whole setup. Tammy? Right. You are privileged. Did you hear that? She said, if you have a, yeah. That is something to think about. You never work a day in life if you like your job. Jan?
It's possible to maybe not like a job and still good. You know, and I think your employees here would appreciate that. You know, if you're good at your job, he don't want you to quit.
Right. Kind of a, yeah, I know it. Because his income depends on your work, right? If you're not getting the work out, they're not going to need him either, you know? That's true. Got to be done. Yeah. It's hard to find workers. See the work, help wanted signs out everywhere. A lot of people, I don't know what happened to them when the pandemic came. Either they got used to not working and still survived and figured they just continued to do that. I don't know. But everywhere I turned, they said, well, we're short of staff. So that's why things are as they are. Right, I think you hit it right on the head. That's true. You just come, you do your best. You do what you know you have to do. Right. I did the same thing as Roy just said, 30 years of putting up with it. You know, it wasn't so bad that, you know, it wasn't life threatening, so just stay and do the best you can. You know, you had to have a job. But as you said, Tammy, if you find a job that you like, how did you say that? If you have a job that you love, you'll never work a day in your life. That's pretty deep. I've heard that before. All right. So we've got a lot of strong opinions about work. Okay, here we move. A personnel man put the question to 100 men. How many of you fellows are thoroughly satisfied with your job? Only 5 hands went up. What's the matter? Not enough money, one answered. Another replied, I'm not interested in this kind of work. Another one stated, I took this job until something better comes along. All right. Well, they were being honest, right? We do what you have to do until something better comes along. Amen. It has been estimated that 70% of American labor is not producing more than 50% of its capacity. So lots of people are being overpaid while they whine for better jobs. I don't call it whining. You got to look at the other side of it, too. A lot of people are being underpaid for what they are doing. So there's two ways to look at that. But I agree. After reading some of these statements in the book, I decided to look up and do a little investigation on the author. And I found out a little bit about him. Have you all done that? I Googled him. Or at least Jan Googled him. We were saying, well, who is this and where? Well, anyway, let's move on. Okay. Paul said, "For I have learned in whatever state I am, therewith to be content." This is Philippians 4:11. When the need arose, he made tents. So Paul learned that whatever situation he was in, to be content, Paul. So he's one of our examples. So we should look at that as an example, right? To be content, whatever situation you're in. All right, Paul. Sort of. He just, I was wondering if somebody's going to see that. Yeah. He's saying stay there and be content. But then come on down, he said, up a little above that, he said, leave. If you don't like your job, leave. So, well, we'll see. Google this man and you will learn a little bit more about him once you get home. His name is Leroy Brownlow. Interesting.
I got a verse of scripture, Colossians 3:22-23.
Okay.
It says, "Bond servants obey in all things their masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasures, but in sincerity of heart fearing God. And whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men."
True.
Yeah. 23, that's what I hold on to. Especially like right now, I'm doing, you know, a lot of physical, you know, just back and shell. And I'm focusing on that's what God has to do right now. So I'm just focused on that and not, you know,
working. And you can look at that as, okay, you stack the shelves, but people come in to buy the product that they need and use. So you're helping out in that way. Although you might not physically like actually stacking the shelves, but when you look at what you're doing and it's helping people, I could see that. That was that came out earlier in this on this page. That's a good point. So the food that you put on the shelves, people buy and eat. Yeah, so that's another good way to look at it. Thank you, Jason. All right. You may turn work into play by working at the thing you love or for those you love. Liking your employment is not wholly dependent on the job, but on self and self-discipline. All right. This is a little statement up here. It is not doing the thing we like, but liking the thing we have to do that makes life happy. Everybody agree with that? Anybody agree with that? Okay. Okay, number 5, the worthy worker is a diligent worker. He becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand, but the hand of the diligent maketh rich. Proverbs 10:4. I'm not sure if I'm familiar with that one. Somebody looked that up. Proverbs chapter 10. Verse 4. Let's take a look at that one. Talking about the diligent person. All right. Proverbs 10:4. Anybody have it?
He becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand, but the hand of the diligent
maketh rich. Okay. Straight out of a quote. Right, verbatim. Mm-hmm. He becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand. Any interpretation on that verse, anybody? But the hand of the diligent maketh rich. Okay. We'll table that one and come. Good. Right, that's true. The more. That's the key, probably. All right. Debbie? All right. That you do. Very good. That's a good comment. Very okay. True. Yep. True. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's a good point. Right, so nobody in here is poor, and nobody in here is rich, right? If you look at extremes. Right, there we go. That's what we can. That's what. That's what, well, right, that's what we're going to pay off in the end. Very good. Say that again, Denise. Family and friends, right. Rich. Wiley? Okay. Oh. No fun. No. Yeah.
But most important thing that I remember.
That's true. Right. And you can look at the end result of your picking cotton, and that's what they made clothes out of, right? So if it weren't for you, people wouldn't have had clothes. If you really want to. Yeah, all right. Anybody else? Okay. Yeah. Doing it to survive. Yeah. Good comment. Very good. Jan?
Yes, I was going to say, just like David was saying, rich and poor are relative.
Mm-hmm.
Because I always thought I grew up poor, which you told me about your growing up and your situation.
Yeah.
And that was really poor, but the only person I ever heard about poor you was
Wiley. That's true. Good point. Very. That's true. Brother Wiley, when I first met Wiley, we talked about being from down south and poor and how things were. And I was telling him some of the things we went through, but then he would tell me about something he went through. I said, wow, that was worse than me. Then I'd give him some more, but he won the contest when he said they only had one pair of shoes, so he and his brother couldn't leave the house at the same time. So I'm sorry. Yeah, so Wiley did get me on that, but so I understand Wiley. All right, so we all been there. We know about that. All right. The slothful man. That's what I was getting ready to read, right? All right, Mortuarius. Okay, on page 77, the slothful man can never succeed. When duty beckons, he says, there's a lion without. I shall be slain in the streets. Proverbs 22:13. He always had an excuse. That's quite an excuse there, right? Just don't do anything because you think there's a lion out there in the street waiting on you. Proverbs 22. Let's see if that's an exact quote. Proverbs 22, verse 13. That's the slothful man. Can never succeed. Interesting. Anybody have it? Okay. Proverbs 22:13. It's the exact same quote. Okay. All right, slothful man. That is quite an excuse. We'll see. Let's move on. It is. There's a lion without. In other words, he may not mean literally a lion, but he means there's something out there that can get him. Yeah. Okay, we'll move on. Anybody want to try to explain that one? Okay. I don't get that one either. But people who say or do anything to get out of work, right? An excuse, right? That's what it is. That is a kind of an extreme excuse, but that's what it's talking about. People who make excuses. True. All right. Okay. Here we go. Dan and Sam were two brothers whose farms lay side by side. In the spring, Dan said, the weeds are coming, but weeds as well as grain are part of the Creator's plan. So we must be resigned. And he lay down for his usual afternoon doze. Sam said, I can be resigned only to what I cannot help. So he went to work and plowed and hoed until his fields were cleared of weeds. You know the results. Sam prospered, and Dan didn't. The years broadened the difference between the two. Dan said, why are you always prospering, but I am not? Everything you do succeeds, while everything I do fails. He didn't know that. To pull ahead, you must use your head. He didn't know that the trouble with success is it takes work. He didn't know the man of the hour never watches the clock. He didn't know that while the successful man tips his hat to past accomplishments, he takes off his coat to present duties. That's a pretty good little saying there, you know. And the reason these two brothers were so different, they were different themselves. One wanted to take his doze, his afternoon doze, and the other one didn't want to rest till he got the job, the work done. And that's the way we should be, really, that part of it. All right, any comments on that? Okay. Pull ahead, you must use your head. Number six, the good worker is honest. This is one of the most necessary qualities. God's plan for success requires honesty. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. Romans 12:17. Thou shalt not steal. That's part of some of the Ten Commandments. Exodus 20:15. Work to have to give to others. Right. Not work to steal from others. That's what we do. We work, we try to help others out we work to help others. That's what we do. That's what Christians do for one another. The old rugged quality of honesty will solve many of our problems in the economic world. Every employee should realize that for him to take pay for service not rendered is theft. One thing we all can be is honest. Well, that is a true statement. Right. One thing every employee should realize that for him to take pay for services not rendered is theft. All right? Very good. Number 7, the excellent worker is productive. There will always be a demand for the worker who produces, but the non-productive worker hinders success and, sooner or later, must be eliminated.
That was fast.
All right. Jesus exemplified this principle. And when he saw a fig tree in the way, he came to it and found nothing thereon but leaves only, and said unto it, Let no fruit grow on thee henceforth forever. And presently the fig tree withered away. This is found in Matthew, this example is in Matthew 21:19. There is no need to have a fig tree that does not bear. Neither is there any need for a worker who that does not produce. And those kind of statements we can relate to, right? They're a little more centered. All right, any questions on that? Let's do this last one, number 8. The good worker works his mind to improve his work. There will always be a place for the person who does this. So often we see placards which say, think. We think about what interests us. If we have enough interest in our job, we shall give thought to how we may improve it. All right. That is very true. All right. Let's finish this page. It says, there's many an industrious man who never gets ahead because he does not think or plan, but trust or to luck instead. He's not a slacker or a shirk. This potler in life's grind, but though he always minds his work, he never works his mind. That's a good one. The good worker is like a good watch. Open face, busy hands, pure gold. We regulate and wound up. Well regulated and wound up. All right. Well, we won't get into the questions. No need in starting over there. We'll save that for Mike next week. Interesting class. This is an interesting book. I know, although depending on some of us not really enthused about it, but it does have some good points. And all right. And it's worth reading at least. All right. Thank you for everybody. And we'll move on with our devotional part now. Thank you. Okay. Wiley, you have the invitation, right? Okay.
Two five five. I keep falling in love until over and over and over and over again. I keep falling in love with him, falling in love with him, over and over again. He gets clearer and clearer as the day goes by. Oh, what a love he gave my Lord and I keep falling in love with him over and over and over and over again. He keeps blessing me over and over and over and over and over again. He keeps blessing me over and over and over and over and over again. He gets sweeter and sweeter as the day goes by. Oh, what a love between my Lord and I. And he's falling in love with him over and over and over and over again. He keeps lifting me over and over and over and over and over again. He keeps lifting me over and over and over and over and over again. He gets clearer and clearer as the days go by. Oh, what a love between my Lord and I. I keep falling in love with him over and over and over and over again.
Good evening, church. I just want to note that the majority of my scriptures comes from the contemporary English version of the Bible. And my lesson this evening comes from Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 through 14. It reads, "Go in through the narrow gate. The gate to destruction is wide, and the road that leads there is easy to follow. A lot of people will go through that gate, but the gate to life is very narrow. The road that leads there is so hard to follow that only a few people find it." In Matthew chapter 22, verses 14, the Bible reads, "Many are invited, but only a few are chosen." Let me repeat that. Only a few are chosen. If we reflect back upon the great flood, God chose to save 8 people, and that was Noah and his family. If we move on to Sodom and Gomorrah, God chose to save 4 people, and that was Lot and his family. These two Bible verses gives us a stark warning about what is yet to come. We know that at some point in time in our life, we're all going to be judged. We're going to have to stand before God and be judged on what we did do and what we didn't do. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, it says that not everyone who says, "Lord, Lord," will enter into the kingdom of heaven, but those who does my Father's will enter into heaven. there are many people who believe that you can pray your way into heaven. Others believe that all you have to do is to confess Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and you will be saved. There are those who believe that baptism is not essential for salvation. And there are those who believe that they can buy their way into heaven. As Christians, we all know that these are all human beliefs, contrary to the Word of God. The truth of the whole matter is, there is no easy path to heaven. There are two roads that we will travel during our lifetime. The road to eternal life, the road to eternal destruction. Everyone, by their own choice, determines which road he or she will travel. If a person rejects the gospel of Jesus Christ and neglect their own salvation, then that person is choosing to travel the broad road that will lead to eternal destruction. In order to enter the narrow gate, a person must believe and obey the gospel of Jesus Christ up unto death. There is no other way to enter through the narrow gate other than through obedience. In Matthew chapter 16, verses 24 through 26, Jesus said to his disciples, "If you want to be my followers, you must forget about yourself. You must take up your cross and follow me. If you want to save your life, you will destroy it. But if you give up your life for me, you will find it. What will you gain if you own the whole world but destroy yourself? What would you give to get back your soul?" The truth of the whole matter is, we cannot save ourselves. Acts chapter 4, verses 12, it ensures us that only Jesus has the power to save. His name is the only one in all the world that can save anyone. This means that it doesn't matter what we've done, where we came from, or what we look like. Only Jesus has the power to save us from the road that leads to eternal destruction. In John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. Without me, no one can go to the Father." As we travel the straight and the narrow way that leads to eternal life, we're going to have many struggles. There's going to be many pitfalls. But Philippians 4:13 encourages us that we can do all things through Christ Jesus, who strengthens us. Matthew chapter 6, verses 24 says that no man can serve two masters. Either he will love one and hate the other. I know this was very short, and I promised Jason I would keep it within 5 minutes. So at this time, we're going to offer the song of invitation. And if there is anyone that have any needs, please feel free to come forward. Let it be known.
I want to say good evening to everyone. Thank everyone for coming out. We also thank those who called in on the conference call to be a part of this service. We thank you very much. We also say welcome to all of our visitors, our guests tonight. We're glad that you could be here as well. Please remember all of our sick, all of our shut-ins, and those who are asking for prayer. Brother Ishmael Figueroa is having severe eye problems, and he's asking for prayer also. And Keith Green, who is the brother-in-law of our brother Glenn Johnson. Keith is the brother of Stephanie. He's in St. Joe's Hospital with COPD, very serious condition.